RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Monday, Val, and
Beans. Great weekend, Frank. I had a great weekend.
Yes, it was a nice weekend, wasn't it?
What'd you do?
I don't know.
Oh.
It was hot. What did I do? Friday, I did something. Saturday, I worked out. Oh, yeah. Saturday, I worked out a little bit in the morning. Then we took the baby to a baby shower of a friend of mine who's about to have his first arrive in July. And then Saturday night, just hung out in the backyard. Sunday, did some housekeeping in the morning, went to the father-in-law's in the afternoon, stayed there for most of the day. It was just chill.
Fantastic.
The way I like it. Yeah,
fantastic.
I don't want to do anything. I don't like doing things.
Yeah, that was a good weekend. I was away in Greenville, and I did meet with the BBC, Frank. I did.
Now, how did that go?
2.5 hours.
And they're going to put out the entire 2.5 hours?
Well, pretty much. This is what they say. It won't come out until next year, which I don't understand.
Yeah.
But
this is, it's not going to be used exactly the way they told you it's going to be used.
I'm sure. I'm not even going to say anything else about it because I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt until it comes out. But it was everything you'd expect it to be.
What?
No, I mean, just like constant questions about a certain topic that I never speak about anyway, which I knew would happen.
Okay.
To the point where I said, okay, well, this is not what we agreed to, like, literally. And then he you know, it was all, you know, we know the election was 100% legitimate in the United States. And
oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right. Well, then case closed.
And then, you know, you talked a lot about Pizzagate. No, I didn't. Do you believe that there is a cabal of elite pedophiles ruling the government?
Oh, well, you're from the BBC. Tell us about Jimmy Savile and his time at the palace over there. You're from the BBC, so tell us all about Jimmy Savile and his time at the palace over there.
I said to him, number one, I think it's absolutely disgusting that people like you have politicized the issue of child sex trafficking.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's gross. It's horrible.
Oh, yeah. Because nobody makes distinctions between Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. Nobody makes distinctions between that. In fact, most people who look into this and take it seriously have an understanding that most of the world is run, is like a play when it comes to these topical divides and these wedge issues of politics. I mean, there's very little that divides people.
When it comes to, yeah, well, so I basically said, have there been people on both the left and the right who are in government positions in power and government who have been arrested for that very thing?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I don't believe, and this is true, I just don't believe that there is, that every single person in government is a pedophile. I just don't believe it. I'm sorry. Like, I know people are going to be like, it's just not true. And second of all, you should never start accusing people of being a pedophile without evidence to do so.
Well, that's why, listen, it's one of those things. There is a downside to this kind of level of intrigue into operations. I mean, when you see smoke, there's definitely fire. But of course, people, especially on the internet, they go way over that. You can't mention. I know just from just being able to observe activity in my own chat rooms when I'm live. You mention a movie, any movie.
Yep.
And you know, people. Oh, pedo alert. Oh, that person's a pedo. Well, this person's. Oh, yeah. Well, listen. I understand that this stuff happens, but you really have to just watch yourself.
That's not something that you throw around lightly, like, or just because you think that it might be true based on something you read on something. You know what I mean? Like, I
think it becomes virtue signaling on to the opposite degree of what the social justice left does. Because if you are, even if you, I mean, on the internet, everybody is not really who they are in real life. They are an embodiment of a screen name and some kind of a bold alter ego kind of a thing there. If you're constantly shown to be calling out what you perceive to be pedophilia, then you're constantly showing yourself to be someone who's against it, which is a noble thing. It's a crime against humanity. So that's not a bad thing in itself, but the drive to I mean, geez, it is easy. And that's why it's so easy for the opposite side, the obtusely ignorant to the problem, that side of things on the BBC end. That's why it's so easy for them to latch onto that and create a straw man about how really a lot less complicated the issue is. Well, so they feed into each other.
I said on the door in the bathroom of this hotel is a big sign that says, learn the signs of human trafficking, because it's a hotel and hotels are now putting these signs out to alert their guests to the signs that they might see if people are being trafficked in that hotel. So to pretend that this doesn't exist, which is right, the direction that this was going.
And to pretend that it doesn't exist at the level that some people are very openly suggesting, when you look at the missing children, missing persons number just in the United States alone,
yep,
which is not nearly the most populous country in the world, but we are definitely missing the most children every year. And when you think about how unaccounted for the hundreds of thousands of children that are being brought over the southern border is, it's like, why is nobody overly concerned about this? Instead, because it has been injected with politics, people have been have taken to their own their corners, and they have hunkered down for some kind of a fight where they scoff at each other and they call each other QAnoners and shit like that.
Gross. It's just gross. So there was that. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, the whole thing was just, it was what it was. We'll see what happens. But then Saturday I got to speak, and I was really worried about it, actually, because I was given 45 minutes, and I don't know if you know, if you've ever spoken to a crowd for that long before outside of the podcast, but that's a lecture. You know, that's not necessarily a speak. You know what I mean?
I've done it for a college class before.
Okay. So it's a little bit, you know, how am I going to fill up 45 minutes? So I didn't prepare anything because I thought that reading from a piece of paper is just not the way to do it. So I just polled the audience on a couple different topics. And one of the topics that people wanted to hear about was COVID. The other one that people wanted to hear about was election integrity. People like really blew up about those things. And I ended up really going the 45 minutes on like a short history of the reporting we've done on COVID and blah, blah, blah. And so during that time, like I played a little bit of that doctor's interview that we had on the show. And I talked about a little of the work we've done. And then when I got back home and I looked in the dark to light telegram room, there was this CNN clip with your favorite reporter from CNN. Who do you think I'm going to name?
From CNN? Is it Allison Camerota?
Sure thing. She has.
Yeah, she's my fave.
I know she is. She has a bunch of Democrats on her show talking about vaccine hesitancy. Do you want to hear?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, let's do this. Something.
I understand it worked in a COVID unit, and I would think that you would want to get the vaccine.
Basically, I just want some more research. We're seeing a lot of adverse reactions after Pfizer, Moderna, and J&J.
Tell me about your hesitancy. What's it based on?
I had COVID in February, so I have natural immunity. There's no reason for me to get the vaccine. There's no reason for me to take the vaccine. Doses from vulnerable people in this country or in other countries who need more than I do.
You just don't know how long your natural immunity will last.
You don't know how long the immunity from the vaccine lasts. This is taken on a religious.
You know what's ridiculous right there?
Yep.
You don't know how long your natural immunity will last. I don't know. Probably as long as it does from every flu season to flu season. It didn't kill. You're talking to her. You're talking to a person who got COVID and is perfectly fine. She's alive. You know that she, Allison, do you know you're speaking to a living person right now? But what if you get it and recover again? It's so ridiculous.
Oh my God. Hold on. Listen, wait.
This is taken on a religious mentality and on the progressive liberal side of the spectrum. So it's changed my politics. Now I'll vote for anybody who cares about civil liberties and who doesn't allow the trampling of our rights that we've seen over the past year.
Jennifer, I see you applauding. So tell me your thoughts.
I'm loving hearing her talk right now. Everything she says, I basically agree with.
So
hell yeah. That's great.
Five leftist cubes. We heard from two of those people who are changing their politics because of how the left is handling the vaccine issue.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that, right?
I've told you, vaccines have been, I think you and I spoken about this recently. When I say recently, within the last 2 years. But in New York, there was a study, or not a study, it was based on some kind of surveys and stuff. But in New York, the political divide between what right, left, Democrat, Republican, as far as those who want to be able to, who are skeptic of how necessary all these vaccines are, and or just the length and the how big the schedule is, or anything else, especially compulsory medicine. The political divide is really not that big. I obviously, because of the way 2020 was framed for people, this has become a lot more political than the yearly flu shot. This is something it has taken on different meaning.
They're getting freaking necklaces.
Yeah, it's sick. I'll tell you, and it's all because it's all trauma-based mind control. It's really sad to see. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of Democrats. I've had Bernie voters telling me from the beginning, hell no, I'm not getting this thing.
I've had people that were diehard Biden supporters say that they weren't getting this vaccine when Trump was president. But then as soon as Biden was president, they got it, as though like something had changed in the chemical composition of this thing between the time when President Trump was in office to the time when he wasn't. And, you know, we're seeing this even here in South Carolina, which is really pissing me off. The Department of Health here is doing this something like where they're offering like free alcohol to people in the age bracket of like 21 to 26 to get them to get the shot. And I'm like, if you've got to bribe people with like strippers and lottery wins and drinks and all this crap, maybe you've got another issue on your hand. Like there's an article from Just the News. Oregon is giving away $1 million to get residents vaccinated, but fewer of them are rolling up their sleeves for the shot by the day. Huh. On May 21st, Kate Brown, governor there, announced the state would randomly select one vaccinated Oregonian for $1 million prize by the end of June. That day, 14,943 people received the shot. But they've fallen ever since the announcement because people are like not that stupid, guys. They're really not. And I saw this clip of this woman over in I think it was London, where she was standing outside of a vaccine clinic. And she was protesting, reading off the facts about the vaccine and how many people it had harmed. And like they're literally like trying to subdue her, to stop her from talking.
It's almost like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, where they put these golden tickets inside of all the chocolate bars and everybody's going, they're like, we're going to give you $1 million. Yeah. It's $1 million lottery. Go ahead, and 14,000 people go out there to buy chocolate bars. But really, chocolate is a lot. I mean, chocolate. I'd rather see diabetic people go and pick up Wonka bars than go on out there and get something that is so alien to anything we've ever had to comprehend medically as a species. I mean, I don't care what happens when the FDA inevitably says, all right, it's 100% approved. It just doesn't even matter.
I keep on saying that I don't agree with you on that at all, but it's okay. We've gone through it already.
Oh, listen. No, I understand where you're coming from, that when they give approval, then it's going to create some kind of a legal basis, which is not even really a legal basis. It's just precedent. It's not it. That's all that people are going to once again be overcome by the perceived authority that is mandating this stuff on a local basis. But I mean, nobody's going to very few people are going to budge because the FDA has said, all right, it's good now.
Yeah. No, I mean, no one's changing their mind because of the FDA approval. I get it. Craziest thing, too. Did you see, we're going to jump over to critical race theory really quickly, because one of my New York homegirls, I don't know her, but I knew exactly where it was going as soon as she started talking. Did you see this viral video of this New York woman who had...
from Carmel.
What?
From Carmel.
Yeah.
That's where I took my road test.
Aww.
Because it was very easy to pass up there.
You got to go and choose?
Yeah, you can go and put yourself down for take the test wherever the hell you want if you're going to drive that far. Carmel's only about – I have a couple friends that still live there. There's only about 30, 35 minutes away.
Huh.
And and it was a lot easier. In White Plains, all my friends were failing.
Do you happen to have the link to that?
No, but I saw it over the weekend.
I'm gonna pause it real quick. Hold on. Figure we play some of this for folks, huh?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got the spinny wheel.
That's what I had before.
Yeah. The YouTube spinny wheel going on here. Huh. Well, isn't that kind? Hold on. All right, I've got it.
Tatiana Ibrahim. And I'm here for the first time. I'm here tonight not only as a community member, but as a parent in this district. Recently, you sent out a survey wanting to know why parents were not voting yes for this budget. So my situation, my vote for no is a little different. I think the Board of Education and those sitting on the panels are thieves. I think they're liars and have committed treason against our children. My message to this district and the members of the Board of Ed. Stop indoctrinating our children. Stop teaching our children to hate the police. Stop teaching our children that if they don't agree with the LGBT community, that they're homophobic. You have no idea each child's life. You don't know what their family lifestyle consists of. You don't know the makeup of their life. You have children like mine, who is Muslim, and I'm Christian, and everyone would think they would never believe that of her, right? Because the way she looks, or according to Miss Cyrus, she's too pasty white.
Now, I gotta stop it here, because unless you understand New York women...
And it's easy.
What?
It's easy to misunderstand them, too.
More important than the words are the movements of the body.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying, Frank?
Absolutely.
It's the facial expression. It's the movement of the body. It is the, like, you do not understand how angry this woman is if you're just listening to it. Like, she is probably on a scale of 1 to 10, around a 7, 7.5.
Yeah, she's like, trying to hold it. She's trying to hold it together.
Yes. And even people who don't know or understand, and I'm not trying to disparage anyone, obviously, New Yorkers will understand that this is a mother you do not want to. You do not. There is nothing that you want to do now to piss her off further. Trust me when I tell you. And she is talking about a social media post that was made by a school board member about her daughter.
Hmm.
Here.
Ma'am. Excuse me. I'm up here. We're not allowed to use names. If you have something you'd like to discuss about a specific person, you can call the superintendent or leave your info for her to call you tomorrow.
Why are we not allowed to discuss names? Why am I not allowed... when they purposely themselves expose themselves on social media talking about calling for the death of a former president, or saying that any child that doesn't believe in Black Lives Matter should be canceled out. Is this what my tax dollars is paying for? You're teaching my children and other children that if they believe in God Almighty, they're part of a cult. These educators put their own names out there. We have Mr. Barry, who took it upon himself with Ms. Cyrus to create a curriculum.
That should be it.
Do you want the proof? I have the proof. You created a curriculum of Black Panther indoctrination.
Ma'am.
You use taxpayers'
dollars. Ma'am, please. Please stop being angry. I don't want this happening in this room right now.
Ma'am, this is a situation we cannot control.
We can't discuss this here. I'm going to put the rest of this in the show notes for everybody because it is so good to watch. Like, they try to stop her and she's not having any of it. It goes on for 11 minutes. I'm just going to randomly pick a part towards the end. Here.
So if you would like to make an appointment, I would be happy to sit with the superintendent.
I don't want to.
I'd be happy to sit with you in a closed door meeting where nobody can hear it.
Yeah, exactly. And mollify
you until you go home and shut up.
7 minutes and 23 seconds in. So this is another time where I guess she just wasn't listening to them. Thank God. Here.
I know what I'm speaking about. See, I don't agree with you. So it's an assumption.
Well, I'm not going to engage in a back and forth with you about this. So if you would like to make an appointment, I would be happy to sit with the superintendent.
I don't want to. The assistant superintendent already sent an email and stated that they had no idea that these books were being put on in the students' hands. The superintendent already stated that they had no idea that the funds of taxpayers were supporting this. Black Panthers. Do you know Black Panthers is a domestic terrorist group? Do you know that it was condemned as a terrorist group? Do you know they kill cops? I have a problem when you're trying to kill a police officer. I have a big problem with that. I have a problem when teachers are passing out flyers, recruiting children to go to the courthouse to protest Black Lives Matters. When you have people sitting with signs that says all cops are bastards. Really? All cops are bastards? No, I think you people are, because the way you're acting and the way you're treating our children and our police officers and making them believe that it's okay to abuse them, I'll be damned if I'm going to sit here and let you do that. I will become your worst nightmare because I'm going to stand here and keep fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. And if not, I can actually go out, get signatures. What happens if we stop paying school taxes? You're going to arrest all the community? The majority of the...
Damn right, lady.
Stop paying the taxes. Stop paying... if she can do that, that'd be amazing.
She won't stop. That community happens to be like 80% police officer families.
Stop paying the taxes. You can do that in a place like Carmel easily. You can do it.
Great stuff. So... Yep. Frank, I know we're a little over 11 because our guest that we're going to bring on right now.
Let's get to him.
Yeah, I needed to give him a few minutes of time to talk. We're going to explain the whole story about it. But a little incident sadly happened yesterday at the Rock. Or not yesterday, the day before at the Rock and Ride event. And we started a little late because he couldn't get his crap together and get his Skype working. So, Chad, you screwed up my show today. But anyway,
he was great to meet. I had a wonderful time learning about him a little bit and getting the breakdown of what happened. So let's get to him.
We'll get to Chad and then we'll come back to close it up real quick. Here's Chad Keaton. So we are joined by an interesting character, a friend of mine named Chad Keaton. He is here with me in Horry County, South Carolina. He is an executive committeeman here in the county, and he was one of the people that was really instrumental in the reorganization of Horry County. And I just want to say before we get into the story that I made a pledge that I was going to keep, kind of separate, Frank, the uncovered DC stuff from South Carolina politics just for integrity reasons, right?
Uh-huh.
But something happened at this event that I was at, Rock the Red, over the weekend, and there's been this report that came out about it that is so utterly contemptuous that I am compelled to speak out about it so strongly that Chad is with us today.
Okay.
I'm going to brief the story and then Chad, I will bring you in to discuss what happened. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So we were all there at the dinner, the banquet dinner, where there was an award ceremony, and I got an award, and Chad and his wife, Elizabeth, also got an award. It's called the Courage of Conviction Award, Frank. It was beautiful.
Congratulations to all three of you.
Thank you.
So,
General Flynn got one, too.
Flynn got one, too. So, like, literally, we won the same award as General Flynn. Chew on that for a second. Yeah. Hmm. So we were at the dinner. We were at the same table. General Flynn was at our table, too. General Flynn went up and spoke, finished his speech, came down. The event was over. And General Flynn had, like, just stepped behind the pipe and drape on the stage when this guy came up to the front and grabbed a microphone. And he started saying, basically, everyone, can you raise your glasses for General Flynn? Like, he was going to give a toast. And somebody in the crowd says, like, oh, something's a little not right here, or something to that effect. On the live stream, this was all visible. And then the guy starts talking about how General Flynn is a traitor, how he is, you know, an enemy of the United States, like, just not right, just very wrong. And two guys tried to, like, get the mic out of his hand, but Chad is a military CB.
Hoorah.
And so he saw this, knew General Flynn was right there, and just basically subdued the guy and took him out to the front, to security. All the while, angry, pissed off people were, like, wanting to hurt the dude. And Chad was like, don't touch him, don't touch him. Got him out there, whatever, right? So, so we also found out the next day, Frank, that there was another person or people, we're not just quite sure how many were there yet or whatever, outside of, like, the loading dock area in the kitchen, you know, where, like, you'd bring a VIP guest out after an event.
Yeah.
Seemingly waiting there. So, like, this was a distraction, and then there's another guy outside waiting to do whatever it is they were going to do. The dude ended up having some kind of a weapon on him when the cops got him. He went away in a police car. I'm still, to this moment, not sure if he was actually technically arrested. Maybe Chad knows. But long story short, the next day, because Chad's effective politically and does things that piss people off because he exposes folks. He just does. There's this article that comes out in this, what can I can only equate to a liberal rag at this point because of how this is written, by this guy, David Hux, who says the title. What was the title of the article, Chad?
Evil local man. No, I don't know. Speaker body slammed by.
Disabled. No, I'll read it.
Disabled. This disabled man or disabled veteran.
It says, quote, disabled man body slam speaker at Rock the Red convention.
Right.
Because okay, Chad is disabled. Wait.
Okay. So. Okay.
Go ahead. Shoot through it.
See, I didn't. I was trying to figure out where the hell this was going, because usually the big controversy would be if somebody just body slammed a disabled man, but the disabled man is doing the body slamming.
Well, there was
time.
No body slam.
That's why I didn't know where the headline was going. Okay, keep going. Keep going.
So he puts out that, I'm just going to read some of this. A supposedly disabled former Horry County firefighter body slammed a speaker at last night's Rock the Red event in Greenville, South Carolina.
But he wasn't a speaker. He was a protester that just injected himself into the mix. Okay.
Precisely. So because of the way this has gone down, the article's trash. I mean, the whole thing is trash. It attacks Chad here for all kinds of nonsense that has nothing to do with the event at all. And I just, it's so wrong on so many levels. And there have been people in this community here who've seized upon this to attack Chad for all number of things. And I can't stand by and allow this to happen. I just can't do it. My gut, my insides crawl out of my body. So I had to have Chad on to tell a side of the story. Chad, take it away.
First off, thanks, Tracy and Frank. I'm a big fan, and you know that, Tracy. And I finally get to talk to Frank. Tracy, you continuously bring people I have the utmost respect into my life, and I appreciate you for that. This was a beautiful night. I mean, General Flynn, by and large, in my opinion, gave the best speech I've heard, and it was amazing. And Tracy will tell you, I have a being a former Navy CB, and that's what got me into politics essentially, is because of my brothers over there. Still, you know, when told to pack up and go to the ugliest places in this world and stick up for people. So to be sitting next to General Flynn, get an award in the same breath as General Flynn and Tracy and the Delemmys and Tom Holman was a huge thing. It was a great night, and I'm always looking out for the general. And let's face it, I think he said it, didn't he, Tracy, that he was the most attacked or threatened man on the face of the planet other than the president?
He investigated. But yeah.
Investigate, yeah. But at the same time, he's got the death threats out there that probably is about the same as Donald Trump, if not more. And that sits on everybody. I mean, they had a bomb sniffing dog come through the room before everybody came into the room. There's reasons for that, and that is I was cognizant of that, and that's something that, you know, I'm thinking about just being in the room, because I'm fiercely vigilant, being a former fireman and a CB. So when the guy did that and I saw those two guys trying to get the microphone from him, and he was pushing him in the face. I mean, they were going at it the Antifa-ish guy was having it out with those two. And I honestly don't really remember. It was a reaction. I reacted. There's people that run towards bullets. There's people that run away from them. My whole life has been run towards them. And plus, he never, when I saw him and when he was speaking, I was like, what is going on here? And I'm trying to process it. He never looked at the crowd. He was looking at stage left at that pipe and drape where I just watched General Flynn walk off. I freaked out because am I looking at a possible operation here to take down General Flynn? That's where my head goes. And when I got up there and he was actually, you know, combative with the other two, I did a simple move, grabbed him up by his collar, and there's a nerve there. And he kind of froze for a second, and I was able to spin him around. And when I spun him around, that inertia, and I'm not a small person, we spun to the ground. And when they're saying I body slammed somebody, I would never get a job at WWE for that body slam, because it was kind of a spin to the ground. And if you watch the other video, I'm actually holding him by the back of his shirt, allowing him to pick up his Kango hat, his glasses, and his phone while he's on the ground.
He's wearing a Kango hat. Who the hell wear those anymore?
Yeah, he was gangster.
Yo, jeez. Look, real quick, Chad. I sent Frank just now, because we do this sometimes. I sent Frank the article. Frank, open up the article, and right there at the top is the Rock the Red body slam. You know, this guy put it up on YouTube, all famous and stuff now. You could take a look at it for yourself real quick while we're talking. You tell me what you would rate this body slam on a scale of 1 to 10, would you?
Okay. it's pinwheeling right now.
All right. We'll give him a second. It's fine. Dead air is fine on the Dark to Light podcast, Chad.
No worries. No. I mean, well, we call it pregnant pause.
That's fine. Pregnant pause, yeah. Dead air, whatever.
A pregnant pause. And then my response. Where? Come on now.
Let it birth. Birth it.
Yeah. Just organically. Yeah. Let it fly.
Yeah, I would love for something to happen organically right now. Like, oh, here we go.
Like a.
Let's see. Now, this is the guy. Let's raise our glasses for General. He's about to.
Yeah. Okay. You're here.
I paused it. Now shame it's pinwheeling
you.
Again.
Should know better.
Jeez.
We gotta get you a T1.
I got perfect Wi-Fi connection in here. God,
Frank,
you gotta clean your cookies. Yeah. Oh, Elizabeth, my wife just said you're probably being throttled because I'm on your show.
Maybe. Wouldn't be surprised.
All right. Well.
You know. Well. Screw me. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I see a stupid hat. Yeah, that wasn't a body slam. No, that was not a body slam. That was just a 52-year-old baby that needed to be pulled away from the toy it just found.
Exactly. Now... And then when I let him pick up his stuff, he realized when he looked up at me, this isn't going to be a fight anymore. And I said, pick up your stuff. I said, get your stuff. I kept saying it. And then there's another video where you see me just holding the back of his shirt and I'm allowing him to pick up his stuff. When I pick him up, I see people balling up their fist. Like, there was people were mad. The last thing he said was Donald Trump was a traitor. So the room was not happy. And I saw people like, you know, pointing and I was like, you can hear me yelling as I'm taking him out. Don't touch him. So essentially, I've gone from eliminating the threat to protecting him because he's been subdued. There's no point in, you know, more force.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm just lost because I'm being made out to be this gorilla that just beat the bejesus out of this guy that was yelling at Antifa on the way out.
Do you know I'm reading stuff online, Frank, people are calling, like saying that he obstructed this dude's free speech rights.
Oh, yeah. It's always free speech rights when you barge into somebody's place and do whatever the hell you want. That's free speech. But of course, everybody just having a voice on Twitter that speech not being tied to an event or anything like that, that's just a private event.
Yeah, it's because a private platform. No worries.
It's a private platform. But when you actually book a place like this and somebody barges on in and tries to create a scene and you're just doing basic security.
No, you want to know the worst part about it, Frank? He bought a ticket.
Well, he's a loser.
Yeah.
Well, that's just it. Because when the way that this, I don't even say his name. I call him the mouth breather. But this particular reporter or this particular person, he wrote it as if this was a book speaker. I didn't like what he had to say, so I went up there and did my best impression of The Undertaker. That's not what happened at all.
You picked him up like by his throat and put him through a table or something.
Now, for the record, on the way, he spun towards me right by the door. And if you watch the other video, which I was just trying to find to send to Tracy so she could send it to you, Frank, you see us walking out and then there's a guy that obstructs us. And he spins towards me like he wanted me, like he was spinning away from me or coming towards me because I had him by the back of the shirt. And when he did that, I don't know if it was a shoulder, hand, I wasn't paying attention, hit me in the jaw. I then put my leg in front of him, sweeped his legs, and I put him to the ground again, which is where you keep your assailant in order to know where the hands are. Because if he's turning at me, I don't know if he has a knife. I didn't pat him down. I don't know what's happening right now. And I'm not about to take a blade to the throat. I have no idea. So I swept his leg and I put him to the ground right by the door. Now, if you watch that video, his head's gone very fast. I mean, it was a quick move. But again, am I being stabbed right now? What is happening? And if you ever hear a cop, don't turn towards me because we don't know what's coming. And that's where you get hurt with police. They get tased, they get shot because you turn towards the police as if you're to fight him. And I'm not saying I was a cop in any way, but that was my same feeling is when he turned towards me, what's coming? So I put my leg in front of him. He was walking to the right of me and I used my hand to put him to the ground. That was a much faster way to the ground. But again, this is my personal safety at this point. And then from there, I got his phone in my hand and I went up and they opened the doors to the outside of the auditorium. And I had so much adrenaline. I just picked him up off the ground and handed him to the security out there. I immediately turned around and went back into the auditorium. I had no more dealings with that particular individual. I needed to know where General Flynn was because I thought we were dealing with a false flag here. And is this an operation? Because if you understand any security protocol whatsoever, if there is an issue with your mark or the VIP, the idea is to move them to safe area, usually out of the building, because you don't know how much of the building has been compromised. Usually, just like you would with Donald J. Trump, he never got to go in the front door of any building. He always came through the back. Go out the back is what most people would do. Robert Kennedy was shot in a kitchen going out the back. It's the same type of thing. And most people that have any understanding of that security is why they said that there were people out there at this particular time hanging out by the loading dock in the back of the Hilton Hotel.
So I wanted to
and
have this.
I'm reading through the rest of this article here too, and they're really trying to hit you from every angle. You're a Proud Boys supporter. Of course, there is a picture of you and the infamous Lynn Wood. So it only gets worse and worse. as you get through the article.
Thank you, Frank.
Well, you know,
yes, it does.
It's all right. This David Hux guy is a complete ninny.
That's a really nice word.
Complete ninny.
Those are way worse.
Look at it. The fact that the video title is "Rock the Red Body Slam." Oh, what a ninny!
So, I mean, look, it was something that I needed to do here, because what's right is right, okay? What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. And I'm not going to stand by and let some Myrtle Beach blogger permeate the internet with all this bullshit, for lack of a better word, about a guy who did the right thing in a situation that he found himself in. And there is this thing called adrenaline, Chad. And when it starts, you become superhuman enough to lift a car off of a person pinned underneath it. It does not equate to, oh no, I'm not disabled because I just took this, you know, potential killer, for all we knew, out. It equates to your body kicks in, fight or flight kicks in, and you do things that you normally wouldn't be able to do in those situations. And I will go toe-to-toe with anyone who says otherwise. I just want to make that known for all the people out there listening. That's all.
That means a lot, Tracy, and you know I love you. And I mean, I couldn't be happier knowing that you are my executive committee woman that's going to represent me and the rest of Oree County in this swamp of a state, and be able to have that kind of power coming from Oree County. And I appreciate you giving me this opportunity, because it's really hard on my family, you know, and even my listeners and you know, our followers. They're like, why, Chad, why would you beat up a speaker? And I'm like, I didn't. And, you know, the good thing is, like, my military buddies, they've seen the video. This thing's apparently going viral. And they're like, Chad, I've seen you with three, you know, guys at a bar. You know, you were pretty nice to that guy. And the thing was, is adrenaline did kick in. And I actually love it. There's a lady named Heather Sheen that was working the gate. And the next day I had to sit next to her and I asked them if they all had some Tylenol or Advil, because my back hurt extremely a lot the next morning, to the point where I didn't even come down to the convention until noon, because I walked so funny. I didn't want people to think I was drunk, you know, at 8 a.m. That's just unchristian. So I didn't do that, you know, and I was hurting. And the thing is what really bothers me, and I want to say this, because as a disabled veteran, you know, there's a lot of people with disabilities that aren't seen.
Yep.
And I'm going to say this, and I've never said it anywhere. I maintain a 70th percentile from the United States military for PTSD. So my rating and how I am considered disabled or not can be a lot to do with your a mental state. I know people that have been in groups where there are young women that come out and they're essentially disabled because they were raped in the military. It isn't your place to decide somebody's or decipher their disability. It's your job to, as a human being, to care, not judge me based off of what you see or what you think I can do. David Hux wrote that I have neighbors that say that I put up my Christmas trees lights at night so that people don't see me. I don't do that. I actually have a 10-foot pole thing that some guy invented, and I get to stick it onto my gutters. I like to put up Christmas tree lights for my wife and the kids in our neighborhood. It's not like I'm out here. I actually, for everybody to know, I go to the gym every day and lift weights. That doesn't mean that I'm not disabled. That doesn't mean that you are to decide my disability. It makes me sick for other veterans that are out there that don't want to get their handicap placard or something because they're afraid of the connotation or how they jump out of their car dictated on their placard. Do you know that I'm allowed to have a disabled placard on my license plate? I would love to park in those spots, but I'm afraid of this right here, where our own community and a so-called journalist uses it as a weapon to come after me because he doesn't like me because I exposed him for pay to play with as a candidate to get paid $3,000 to go after the other candidate as supposed to journalist. I exposed you, David Hux. You are who you are, and I'm fine with it. Come for me. I'm not scared.
A little bit of history here.
There's a ton of history. Well, go ahead and Google Chad Caton. The first 25 pieces are all hit pieces by this person, because I exposed him for the scumbag he is.
When you had first
Sorry.
No. Absolutely not. When you first described this whole, because you know, I'm new to this entire thing altogether. It becomes increasingly obvious that depending on all things, like I said, it doesn't matter what side of your fence you're on. They need to be on the opposite side of the fence. So you think about someone like Donald Trump in 2015 and 16. They say that, oh, he's making fun of a disabled reporter, which obviously it was not. And there's a physical disability there and something a little bit more that you can see and you want. And they use that as a way to create a victim status. Mm-hmm. And then now you see on the opposite side where they will go into any kind of disability to make it into a way that they can castigate a person for having an inability to sufficiently judge a situation or to be able to control themselves in a certain situation. So depending on what angle they're writing from, it's either something to shame the attacker you're in the middle of it. You can see it right now.
Well, it's one of my tags that I came up that I've said on other shows. And this is, I think, a huge problem in this country. We have to stop making heroes into villains and villains into heroes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a really big problem. And by no means am I trying to say that I'm a hero. I don't want to give this meatball any other fodder. I reacted, my training kicked in, and, you know, from the concept of running towards bullets or running away from them, and I reacted not based off of my love for General Flynn, which I have an exuberant amount for. I respect that man. He was drawing pictures and stuff, and we were talking about strategy. I felt like I was with Vince Lombardi in a sandlot with a stick telling me to go for a pass. It was awesome. I would have done it for Tracy. And Tracy knows me well enough. I would have done it for Tom, Dick, Harry, or Henrietta. The one thing that I promised my wife, Frank, when I married her, when we wrote our vows, I can't promise her anything in this world. I can't make that promise because I don't want to lie to her. The only promise I can make to you is nobody will ever hurt you with me next to you.
Mm.
And I believe that in everything that I do. The whole concept of what our activism is about and our community service is about is that we stand up for those that can't stand up for themselves. We do it with pride. We do it. Some people don't like my tactics, trust me. But you can't argue with the results.
There you go. Well, Chad, I needed to have you on today to talk about this because it is making its rounds. Wanted to get out in front of it before it made any more rounds. Make sure the story was straight. Everybody understood what happened. And you got to voice your concerns to an audience that was big enough to understand. So thank you for spending the time with us today.
I can't thank you enough, Tracy. You know, I love your face, and Frank, I'm a big fan of what you guys do and for giving me the opportunity to, you know, put something out there to, and I don't know that necessarily know if I want it to be squashed. I think this needs to be put out there for everybody and continue talking about it so that we can eradicate this evil that calls themselves in the liberal media and put them in their proverbial place. That 25% that we talked about, Tracy, those are the people that need to hear this kind of thing so that they can understand the information they're given needs to be vetted and understood, because there's a lot more to the story, especially when we're talking about hate and vitriol based off of myself actually exposing the scumbag for what he is.
This is why I do what I do, Chad.
I love you for it.
Love you too. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, I love you, Chad. Too, Chad.
I love you too, Frank. You're the man.
All right, have a good one. And all the best to your wife too.
Thank you, my friend. You guys keep killing it. And if you need anything, Tracy, you know the bat signal.
I do. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All
right. All right. So there he goes.
There he went.
I have to, again, be very clear. I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to typically dark to light and uncover DC. I'm keeping out of this stuff. But because of the nature of this situation and because I was there and because I see what I perceive to be a serious injustice occurring here, I could not let him have some place to speak. I hope that people understand.
No, yeah. It was nice to hear him, too.
Yeah. So there he is.
We always say these are the things that are going on in little corners of the country that don't get national attention, although all the people involved, this is something that has that particular situation, especially with General Flynn, it has all of the markers for something that could be blown up nationally.
It's happening.
Yeah. Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, hey, Hux, David Hux, or whatever your name is, I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you until just yesterday. It's a scourge on the profession of blogging and journalism, what you have done. I'm disgusted by it. I think it's absolutely abhorrent. And I'm going to take the opportunity to tell everybody that I can that fact. So I did. You have been listening
to the
Dark to Life podcast with
Monday Val and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Wednesday.
Later.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.